The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson, the host of this shindig. Wow, we live in a world where the Washington Nationals are our World Series champions. We won't get to that. We won't even talk any baseball, I don't think, because we're doing our Thursday night preview show. Reminder, if you love the podcast and you want to leave a review, by all means, do it. Those of you who have left them recently, appreciate you. Really nice stuff people saying on iTunes, except the guy who claims we put out too many podcasts. Weird thing to come up. Anyway, this is 10 this week because of the trade deadline to the second podcast featuring the one, the only Jared Dubin. Dubs, what's up, buddy?
Are you sure that the baseball season lasted beyond the Yankees getting eliminated? I'm pretty sure once the Yankees are out, baseball season's over.
Fun fact, the Yankees elimination game is the single happiest day of my year.
That's weird.
Yeah, I hate the Yankees more than I like my own teams. What do you think about the fact that I, a Braves fan, am thrilled for the Nationals winning the World Series?
I don't think much about it.
It's like, well, those are two teams I don't care about. I love this Nationals team. Like I don't know if anybody watched it. I mean, like, Howie Kendrick and Adam D. Eaton doing the car, they're both like car junkies. So they do the car celebration, in the dugout. They like the baby shark thing that the team did. I don't know. There's just something, this team, I've always loved Max Scherzer, my buddy Zeke, who podcast people know, from such hits as Brady Quinn calling and leaving him a voicemail. And Zeke Watch 2019. He's a huge Nats fan and a Nats season ticket holder, so I'm excited for him. So, I mean, I got a bunch of different reasons. Strasburg, it was cool to see him win. Anyway, Nats are your World Series champs. Exciting stuff. Not quite as thrilling as a Game 7 in the World Series, but we do have 49ers at Cardinals on Thursday night. On a scale of 1 to 7, how excited are you?
Seven is the highest.
Seven is, yeah, like a game seven. Seven is game seven of the World Series, everything on the table, and a one is, I don't know, Redskins Vikings last week.
Well, if it's game seven of the World Series not involving the Yankees, then that means I'm like a 17 on the scale for tonight.
Game seven is Knicks and, Knicks and Lakers. Game seven of the NBA Finals. That's what.
Okay.
So what is so what would be?
Then it would probably be like a 0.2 if the Knicks are in the finals. Like, my God.
Dubin is a huge NBA fan. If you guys like the NBA, make sure and follow him on Twitter at JADubin5. He also does Last Night in Basketball, where you recap excruciating. I'm trying to think of a incredible detail. The things that happened in the NBA last evening. Unfortunately, by the way, Steph Curry.
Yeah, that's rough, man.
Hand. Warriors are done. It's just
it's hard to think of, like, I'm thinking, like, so if the Patriots go, like, you know, 18-1 or 19-0 this year and win the Super Bowl, and then next year they come back and, like, Tom Brady is out for the year, and let's see, like, and Stephon Gilmore is traded to clear cap space, And Devin McCourty retires, and Jason McCourty is out for the year.
And Bill Belichick breaks his hand and retires.
Bill Belichick breaks his hand.
Yeah.
That's like what this Warriors season is like. It's so crazy.
By the way, I lost my balls last night after Curry went down. I live bet the Suns because the Suns were throttling the Warriors.
Yeah. Right?
Throttling. They were up like 25 points. Live bet the Suns, and then some random dude in the Warriors like buried a bunch of threes to lose by 11.
Oh, who was it? I wasn't watching that late. Once Steph broke his hand, I was like, man, this is terrible.
Debo was like, what on earth is happening? Podcast. It was, Eddie Pascal? Oh, it's some clown. No,
Eric.
Kai Bowman. Who is okay. Kai Bowman?
I don't know, honestly.
He buried a bunch of threes last night in my face. Hate you, Kai Bowman. You owe me some cash. Anyway, moving along.
Anyway, yeah,
Warriors team. Angelo Russell's going to put up huge numbers though. Okay, Cardinals. 49ers. Let's try this again. 49ers are at the Cardinals. The 49ers are undefeated. I got to tell you, dudes, this feels like the largest possible trap game on the planet because the 49ers, again, undefeated, 7-0, just destroyed the Panthers in San Francisco with the world watching, expecting maybe an upset there for Carolina. The Cardinals kept it kind of close with the Saints last week, but kicked a bunch of field goals and then lost 31-9 on the road. They're coming home. Short week. And David Johnson's hurt and may or may not play. Chase Edmonds not playing. They had to trade a fifth-round pick for Kenyon Drake to get a running back in there. And the 49ers are healthy and rolling. It's hard to find the narrative is very easy here, right?
Who do the Niners have next week? That's like the whole thing about the trap game, right? It's like they come off a good win and have a bad opponent the next week, and then the week after that they have somebody good. Who are the Niners playing next week?
You're asking hypothetically.
I don't know who they're playing.
They are playing the Seahawks at home on Monday Night Football.
Basically. Okay, so yeah, then yeah, it does fit the trap game. The
narrative is square, and then they get the Cardinals again in 2 weeks. And the Cardinals are 3-4-1 and don't feel like a challenger in what might be the toughest division in football. And then they get their have they already had their bye? They had to have had their bye, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they had an early bye.
Bye. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's why they're 7-0. So yeah, I mean, like it is absolutely a trap game. You are looking ahead and thinking, "Holy cow, we got the division on the line, baby." Seahawks coming to town in a primetime spot. But I mean, I got to tell you this, Dubes, they've had a bunch of letdown spots and they just keep not being let down. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I think that the defense might be like trap game proof. Just cause all three levels, they've been so good this year. And I think Lewis Riddick was who pointed it out the other day. It's not like just a bunch of athletes flying around. Like they're just in the right spot. Like, every single time on every single play, yeah. It's a defense that's just playing an unbelievably high level, in all phases. And there's so much talent everywhere. It's pretty crazy.
All right. Well, let's talk about, we'll come back to the defense. Let's talk about their offense first because, it's weird. Like we were always under the impression, I think, that once things got going with the 49ers, and everybody believed it sort of would, right, that it would be Jimmy G winging the ball all over the place, putting up MVP-caliber numbers. And while the 49ers' offense has been very good, they're a run team. I mean, they're eighth in rush offense by DVOA and 16th by pass. I mean, they're below average, slightly below average in terms of a pass defense. Can they win the title? Can they win it all with Jimmy G playing like this?
I don't think they can win it with him playing like this. Like, I think they can win it with their offense working the way it is if they keep having the kind of success running the ball that they're having. Like, they're one of the teams where, like, because they've actually been this good running it, it actually, like, I'm not going to yell at them to pass more often, or I won't yell at them as much as I do other teams. but, like, they're run the ball 58% of the time, which is pretty insane. And they really just have not asked Jimmy to do all that much. And honestly, it's pretty good that they haven't, because he just hasn't been that good this year. Like, he's completing 70% of his passes and is almost at 8 yards per attempt. And that seems good on the surface. But he's got 9 touchdowns and 7 picks. The 70% completion percentage, like, his expected completion percentage at Next Gen Stats is 68.2. So it's not like he's doing all that much more than what he's been schemed into. He's got, like, the 5th lowest rate of tight window throws in the league, 12.2%, which obviously is super low. Yeah. He's almost never asked to throw downfield. He's throwing 2.7 yards short of the sticks on his average pass. Only Luke Falk and Teddy Bridgewater are throwing further away from the sticks.
Yikes.
It's just, you know, he's not – being asked to do much, and the reason they're winning is because of the defense and the run game.
Yeah. I mean, conversely, I would point out that when the Falcons were really good and Matt Ryan won MVP, they were a really good run team too. Like, this is I don't think people quite get it. Like, I mean, I know you get it, but I don't think everybody fully understands it. The way that Kyle Shanahan wants to run the ball. Like, he wants to have a rushing offense that then leads to play action. And, it's sort of like, it's not dissimilar from what his dad liked to run. You see like Tevin Coleman making, it's a bastardized version of what his father ran, right? I mean, that's what they're doing.
Right. I mean, just to go back to the Matt Ryan comparison, the year that he won MVP, he averaged 33.4 passes per game, which is, in that season, I think was just about average, because the average this year is 34.6 passes per game for a given team. The Niners are averaging 27.1 per game. So there's, running it like they ran it when Kyle Shanahan was in Atlanta, and then there's what they're doing this year, which is, completely different. Like,
yeah,
they're the highest rushing rate team in the league, and it's not all that close. Like, the next closest team, I think, is 4% behind them. And even if you narrow it down to, like, neutral situations, plus or minus 14 points, they're running it on 54% of plays. Only 4 teams are above 50. It's the Vikings, Seahawks, Ravens, and the Niners. Obviously, the Seahawks and the Ravens have, Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson. The Niners do not have that. They have MVG.
Of course not. And now I would also point out that, just for playing devil's advocate here, that, the Niners have won by 14, 24, 4 against Pittsburgh, 28 against Cleveland, 13 against the Rams, and that really was like 40 against the Rams, 9-0 against the Redskins in a game where you couldn't throw, and then 51-13. Against the Panthers. So,
right. That's why I think the neutral situation number works better.
Yeah.
Because they've just been up by so much in so many games.
I mean, the Falcons offense stunk. I mean, the Falcons defense stunk in 2016. Mm-hmm. Like, it was way below average.
Oh, for sure.
And this is, this is the defense in the 49ers that, I know we're all a flutter about Bill Belichick and what he's doing with the Patriots in 2019. And I get it. But I think, San Francisco is challenging them. It's crazy. Like, you look at the defensive DVOA.
And, oh, man, I was going to use that number later.
we'll say that. All right. We don't know what they'll do with Jimmy G. Mm-hmm. What do you think we'll see from them tonight?
Yeah. I mean, well, just to relate to your long-term thing real quick, I think it's beneficial the way they structured his contract. They can get out of his contract with almost no dead money
and sign
on their books this year.
He leaves the Patriots. Yeah,
they could, they could sign whoever they want.
Marcus Mariota.
Sure, that probably would not be that good, but they could sign anybody. Anyway, tonight, the Cardinals defense has just not been very good, and I think it works to the Niners' advantage that the best player on that defense is Patrick Peterson, and the Niners don't really, have the kind of guy that you're going to ask Peterson to shadow. Like, Peterson is, not necessarily useless against the 49ers, but there are obviously teams that he makes way more sense against than a team, you know, whose offense is primarily based around the running game and passes to the tight end and passes to the running backs.
Right. I mean, you look at it in 26.5, and not to steal a stat you probably you have in your preview, but 26.5 of the targets or 26.5% of the targets are going to George Kittle, and then the highest targeted wide receiver, Deebo Samuel. I mean, who wouldn't have seen that coming?
Yeah, I mean, well, some of that is because like they were like jerking around Dante Pettis early in the season.
True. But you know, like the Cardinals are sort of SOL. Like you can't, you know, what are you going to do? Have Patrick Peterson shadow Deebo Samuel or shadow right. Dante Pettis? Like you're right. I mean, like plays right in the 49ers' hands.
Yeah, and I mean, especially like the Cardinals' defense. You know, even since Peterson's been back, they have, you know, not been particularly good at stopping the pass or stopping the run. You know, I think they're 27th in DVOA against the run and 26th against the pass. This is, a defense that is just not all that good. And, the 49ers, I mean, their offensive line is playing unbelievably well in both the run game and in the pass game. You know, even though Jimmy is not playing that well, I think he's set up for success against this Cardinals team because they don't get very much pressure. They don't cover very well on the back end. And specifically, they've just, you know, been destroyed by tight ends the entire season. And I think that works obviously really well for a team whose best pass catcher is George Kittle.
Mm. Do you think that the 49ers will be in a let's pound the ball and get out of here mode?
I think they're kind of always in that mode.
Yeah,
that's
essentially what
they do.
Well, yeah, but like that Panthers game was sort of a flex, it felt like. Mm-hmm. Like that was not a kitchen sink game, but it was like Kyle Shanahan wanted to let, they were doing like the 48-yard Tevin Coleman run. He de-pants the Panthers linebackers. You know what I mean? Classic get him going one way, shake him back the other way type of one cut situation. And in fact, Mark Schlereth, who was commenting on it, I think sort of fell for what was happening. He's like, it was designed to go left, and Tevin Coleman just read it back the other way. It's like, no. That was,
yeah, no, I don't think so.
that was designed to get everyone thinking it was going left, have them all sprint that way, open up a gaping hole to the right, and have Tevin Coleman plant his foot and take off running. They also use like the, what was the 20 something yard touchdown run? It was like a single to Deebo Samuel. Like it was like a old setup where they ran him out of the middle. It was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what happens with their running game tonight, just in terms of who's healthy. It doesn't sound like Matt Breida is going to play. Raheem Mostert, I think, didn't practice on Tuesday and then was limited, I think, yesterday. Jeff Wilson had a concussion or a stinger or something the other day, and I don't know if he'll play.
Breida is questionable. Limited practice Wednesday. Kyle Juszczyk is obviously out. Mike McGlinchey is out. We have Joe Staley is doubtful. And Raheem Mostert, McGlinchey out, I mentioned. And Raheem Mostert questionable. That is a lot of the guys that are – I know the offensive line hasn't been there for a lot of the year already, but, like, that's sort of, like, the foundation of what makes this team go.
Right. And, you know, they've been able to find success still – running the ball even without McGlinchey and Staley for the past couple of games. So, and I mean, it's not like the Cardinals run defense is all that threatening. So I still sort of think that they should be able to run the ball decently well. It's just that they love rotating those backs in and out so much. Yeah. And, you know, Coleman obviously had the ankle injury early in the season. And I don't know that they want to give him, you know, 25 carries or whatever. They've been trying to keep him in like the 15 to 18 range. So I'm just interested to see what they do if none of the other running backs can go. That said, Breida plays through like everything. I feel like he's hurt in basically every game that he plays.
He's like, I don't know if somebody made this joke and I can't remember. Maybe it was you. I can't remember who it was. So if it was you, take credit for it. If not, I'll just steal it from him. But he's like, maybe it's, I think it might've been Costas actually. He's like the knight from Monty Python. He's like, it's just a flesh wound. It's like, dude, your leg is hanging off. Please.
Yeah, that wasn't me, but that sounds about right.
Yeah, 16, 18, 20, 11 in terms of carries for Tevin Coleman, who's just been fantastic since week five, since coming back in week five, mm-hmm. has scored in three of four games, including a three-touchdown explosion last week. Four touchdowns. Four touchdowns. Yeah. Oh, one too. Yeah, that's right. That's right. They oddly don't use him in the passing game quite as much as you would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Breida is kind of the guy that they get involved in the passing game out of the backfield. The good thing about all of their running backs, though, is that all of them are dual threat guys. You know, they haven't been necessarily utilizing Coleman as much in the pass game as he was involved in the pass game, like when he was in Atlanta. Like, he was more of the pass game guy and Devontae Freeman was less so. But he can do that. Like, that's what he was before he came to San Francisco. Obviously, Breida is a threat in the pass game. Mostert, I think we've seen, is a threat in the pass game. Really, the only one they haven't used as a pass catcher is Jeff Wilson, because they've basically only used him, like, inside the 5 or 10 yard line.
Yeah. All right. So you think they can probably run pretty effectively on this Cardinals defense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Cardinals really haven't stopped anybody on the ground. Not that they've stopped anybody in the air, but, you know, especially on the ground, they haven't stopped anybody.
Stopped anyway. They certainly are a Cliff Kingsbury coach team, because they don't stop anybody on defense, but they do produce some offense. And after the break, we will talk about that.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so there are two. Both teams got to play. Both teams got to show up and play in this game, Dubes. We've got the Cardinals offense going up against what we alluded to earlier before the break. Might even be a historical defense.
Yeah, the Cardinals could have a tough time tonight, and not just because their top two running backs are out. You know, obviously everybody, like you said, is talking about the Patriots, who, I mean, the defense just, it's unbelievable. Like, it's the best defense in the history of DVOA's database, which goes all the way back to 1986. The 49ers are third in that database. You know, only the 1991 Eagles, in addition to the Patriots, are ahead of them.
That is pretty huge.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, their defensive front is just unbelievable right now. I mean, 11.4% sack rate. Bosa is first in Pro Football Focus's pass rush productivity. Dee Ford is eighth. DeForest Buckner, 26th. Like, and that's out of 167 guys who have played at least 100 pass rushing snaps. So, I mean, these guys are just getting pressure better than anybody in the league right now. And obviously, pressure is essentially the most important thing to stopping pass offenses from being successful. I mean, they're allowing the second lowest completion percentage, second lowest yards per attempt, second lowest passer rating, second lowest QBR, all of those obviously behind only the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, they're really, really good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and I even think, I would even argue, and I'm curious what you think, that despite the Patriots, as you point out, are 43.3 DVOA, 49ers 41.6, Denver third behind them at -8.8. I mean, it's like the gap is enormous. I think the 49ers have a better chance of being sustainable this year than the Patriots.
I mean, it's possible. I just think that maybe due to the volume of name brand talent up front, you know, it might just seem like they have a better chance of keeping up the kind of pressure and sacks that they're getting. You know, the Patriots, I think, come into each week with a different game plan defensively there. And I think you guys have talked about this with, I'm trying to remember who it was that you talked about the Patriots schematically with.
Brady Quinn, maybe.
Yeah, possibly. I think, that's probably sounds right. they come in and I mean, the same way they do offensively, they are a game plan defense and they will come in and just look completely different in 1 week than they did the next week. The Niners don't really do that. They're playing the same kind of way every week. So in that sense, like, they know who they are, they know what they're going to do, and they're going to do it. And like, if you can beat them straight up, like, go ahead and try. It's very difficult.
It's like, Robert Saleh comes from the Seahawks school of thought, right? I mean, that's what they do. They're not trying to surprise you with what they do.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing these zones behind the pass rushing front. There's not a lot of space to throw and there's not a lot of time to throw. And to me, I mean, obviously the pressure contributes to this, but the big surprise has been the back end of the defense playing so well. Like, I don't know that it's surprising that Richard Sherman, now 2 years removed from injury, is back to playing really well. But the rest of these guys, I mean, the secondary last year for the 49ers was kind of a disaster. And a lot of these guys were there last year. But, I mean, it's just so much better this season. I mean, you're looking at, going back to the Pro Football Focus, there's 115 corners and safeties who have played 100 plus pass defense snaps. In passer rating allowed on that list, out of 115, Emmanuel Mosley ranks 7th, Sherman ranks 9th, Tavarius Moore ranks 11th, Jimmy Ward 26th, Jimmy Ward 22nd, Kawan Williams 26th, Akello Witherspoon 28th, and Jaquiski Tartt 51st. So they're all in the top third of the league, the top half of the league, most of them in the top quarter of the league. And I mean, even Tartt, who's the lowest guy on that list, I mean, his passer rating against is 77.5. That's, you know, like turning every quarterback into, you know, like Ryan Tannehill or something like that.
That's pretty good. What do the Cardinals do here? Cause I mean, and what are your thoughts on what is the line? I should have queued this up, but the line from Arrested Development, the great experiment, let the great experiment begin. Bias for UK yells that. Yes, please move on. What are your thoughts so far on Cliff and Kyler sort of mid-season, how they've done, what they look like, and what they do to combat a team that, you know, they're going to have to see twice in 3 weeks?
I think they look pretty good so far. You know, there were some struggles early in the season, but the way they spread the field, I think, works really well for the run game. It's just like, you know, memo to NFL coaches, the way to run up the middle is by putting more wide receivers on the field and spreading the defense out, not by going jumbo and, you know, bringing a bunch of guys into the middle of the line. I'm just waiting to see how long it takes.
If defenders away, then you get more room to run.
Yeah, I mean, it's
weird.
It seems like common sense, but for some reason people think it goes the opposite. I don't know. But, you know, they do that all the time. And I mean, they're 4th in rush offense DVOA so far this season. They're averaging 4.8 yards a carry. Obviously Kyler contributes to that a lot just because of his ability to scramble and to work on design runs, and just the threat of him being able to do those things helps out the running backs. The offensive line, I think, has been much better than anybody could have expected this season. I mean, it was thought to be like a major, major weakness for them, and that really just hasn't been the case. Kyler's only been under pressure, I think, on 27% of his dropbacks, which is one of the lowest rates in the league. So obviously that's a really good sign. Their run blocking has been pretty good as well. So I think that they're doing things the right way. They're doing things well in pretty much all aspects of offense. They've gone from one of the worst offenses in the league to being in the top half of the league. That's pretty much all you could ask for with a rookie coach and a rookie quarterback. And I think they're still working out a talent deficit on the offense for the most part. I mean, their best receiver for a lot of the season has been Larry Fitzgerald, because Christian Kirk has been out for a bunch of the year. And I mean, I think you've seen Larry Fitzgerald over the last couple of weeks. He just doesn't have as much left in the tank as we might have thought based on the first couple of games. So I think they're doing well compared to what should have been expected for them. They haven't revolutionized offense or anything like that, but they're moving in the right direction, and that's a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing, it's a pretty big nitpick, but they're freaking terrible in the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of thing.
Dead last in the NFL.
Some of that, I think, is because their whole offense is based on creating the widest throwing lanes possible. And lanes just get smaller in the red zone. There's not as much of the field to cover, and you can choke things off a little bit. And especially when your whole offense is based on throwing over the middle to running backs and slot receivers, it's just not – it's more difficult to do that when there are, you know, not as wide of passing lanes. They need to figure out how to get something from their outside receivers. You look at the offense, basically everything is running through Kirk, Fitzgerald, David Johnson, Chase Edmonds. The outside guys are just not doing all that much. Some of that is because of the quality of the talent in the guys that they have out there, but some of that is the design of the offense too. They need to figure out a way to challenge the perimeter of the field too.
Last year at Texas Tech, Cliff Kingsbury's team ranked 17th in terms of red zone scoring percentage with 89.6%. This year, with this via teamrankings.com, this year the Cardinals are 32nd in the NFL at 32.14%. So, I mean, it's not
I would think that probably.
I say the college worth noting. Actually, you know, this is a stupid stat. Sorry, this stat sucks. This is, why does a college stat have TDs and field goals? We don't need that. We need TDs. The
hell? Yeah, I mean, I would say that also to consider Texas Tech talent level relative to the rest of college football was probably better than the Cardinals' talent level relative to the rest of the NFL.
Yep. I know. I mean, I would agree with you completely. Anyway, well, I think if you took field goals, I part of my concern too is with the Cardinals is that Cliff Kingsbury takes way too many field goals.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't understand. If you kick up for, like, I've talked about this a bunch, I think, especially when me and Sean are doing like the live blogs on the night games, yeah, where all these teams that kick on fourth and one, like, you should be thrown out of the league if you kick on fourth and one. I don't care where on the field it is. You should be going on fourth and one every single time. Like fourth and two, fourth and three, I think you should be going for that more than half the time too. Like you start getting into like, okay, fine, at fourth and four and fourth and five. Even then, if you're in positive territory, I don't really think there's much of a reason to kick unless you're in fourth and like seven or eight or more. Most teams average 5 or 6 yards a play, and you're probably going to convert those more often than not, I think. Or even if you don't, it's not that bad. Like you give the ball to another team in like the 30-yard line. Who cares?
The Cardinals are fourth in the NFL in terms of fourth down conversion percentage. They're 5 of 7 this year. They've converted 72% of their field goal, 72% of their fourth downs.
I think also, especially in short yardage, just being able to do so many different things with Kyler and the running backs and the slot guys. Like you can even have Christian Kirk, you know, come across the formation. They've handed the ball off to him a few times. He even was in the backfield a few times last week after, Chase Edmonds got hurt. There's just so many different ways they can challenge defenses. Like they should be going for fourth down considerably more often, especially when like they've kicked, I don't even know how many field goals inside the 10-yard line. It's completely ridiculous.
I do. Nine.
Nine. That's insane.
Yeah, I think it's nine. Well, Zane Gonzalez has attempted and made all nine, 9 field goals from 20 to 29 yards. So, you know, we're talking short yardage field goals that they just hit chip shots on. Yeah, go for it. I mean, you're getting beat. Like, what are you doing kicking field goals? Your offense is producing field goals in New Orleans. You think you're winning with 3 field goals in New Orleans? Get out of here. It's weird.
Especially like when, you know, you're probably an underdog in most games.
Yeah.
You should be pursuing like what they call David strategies where you want to up the risk, you know, like you should be trying to increase variance as much as possible. And they're doing the opposite. They're playing things safe when they get into those kind of situations. And for a coach who's supposed to be, you know, very progressive offensively, it doesn't make that much sense. They should be way more aggressive.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. It is, and we need to wrap up and get the props, but it is, I do think it's curious the way that the Cardinals are sort of approaching this year because I almost think, and now look, this will change if they lose, you know, their next, 8 games, right? I mean, flip everything, but like, it's almost like they've done enough with this offense and done enough with Kyler to be like, hey, look, I know this is a huge risk, but you know, we have something going here. We should all get another year. I mean, you know what I mean? So I almost
I mean, look, they've already won like, I guess 3.5 games if you count the tie. Like,
yeah.
They're doing well.
Yeah, for sure. But I just think that if you're Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury, you don't want to go out there and like flame, like, you know, if you go, if like you go, like, you just need to keep putting points on the board and stay respectable in these games. It's a weird situation. Like,
I disagree with that. I think that so many coaches play not to lose or lose by less. And I think that just makes you end up looking worse. Like, play to win.
I agree with you. I'm saying I just think that's where their mindset is. Like, they want to make sure that they don't get embarrassed this season. Because if you
I think that ends up working against them because it makes you more likely to get embarrassed. Like, you're kicking these field goals against the Saints, and congratulations, you lost 31-9 or whatever it was. If you're going for touchdowns instead, like, maybe you lose 31-21.
Right, and you put up 21 points on. I agree with you completely, but yeah, just saying. All right, let's give the props. We're on the same page. I'm just saying, I think that's where their mindset is.
And I think Keim is probably in more danger of being moved on from, just because the overall roster talent there is just really not good. Yeah. And it seems like Cliff and Kyle are sort of propping them up.
Yeah, I would say that is true, except Keim is the guy who brought in Cliff and Kyle. Like, I just think that Bidwell tied himself to everybody.
Yeah, and
I think
he was also the guy that brought in, you know, Steve Wilkes and Josh Rosen last year. Sure. And he's been given like 17 different chances to do this thing.
I will say this too. Like, I think Michael Bidwell is incredibly loyal to Steve Keim, because Steve Keim came up in that organization as a scout. And he worked under Rod Graves, replaced Graves when Graves got fired. And I think so. I mean, my sense of it is that they are not going to make a change unless this thing just goes sideways.
I don't think they will either. I just think it's more likely to come with Keim than it is with Cliff or Kyler. Okay. Like, Kyler looks awesome.
Kyler's awesome. Right. And Cliff is making it work. All right. Mm-hmm. Jimmy G, speaking of Kyler over under 216.5 passing yards against the 49ers tonight.
They run so many plays, and I don't think that they're going to be able to run the ball successfully, just because, I mean, the 49ers run defense is so good, and then they're working with a running back who got there like 3 days ago. So I'll go over, just because the volume is going to be there. It's going to have to go over almost.
Yeah, the only time Kyler's been under 30 passing attempts was in a quasi-cruise control victory over the Giants. It was 14-21, and they let Chase Edmonds do all the work. Mm. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think they will probably pass a lot in this game. The one concern I would have is that, and this is very bizarre, again, for a guy who's been so aggressive, is that when they're like down and out and the game's over, they don't seem to be trying to tack on garbage points, which is weird. Like, that's what you always see in college. You know, like, they'll Cliff Kingsbury will like be like, well, all right, let's just get out, you know, game's over, we lost, moving along. It's a little weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. Do they get completely blown off the field? I mean, the Niners did it to the Panthers last week, and Panthers are considerably better.
The Cardinals, in their two games against top 10 DVOA defenses, have a negative 40-point differential and a negative 13-point differential in their other six games.
Mm. Wow. So yeah, maybe they do get blown off the field.
Yeah. Cause I mean, New Orleans and Carolina are the only two teams they played that are good defenses.
Yeah.
Like, you look at their three wins and it's like Cincinnati, Atlanta, the Giants. I mean, those defenses. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's kind of my concern with this game, but, I would take over with Kyler too, just cause I think, the game script leads to the idea that he will be passing the football. Over under Jimmy G Q passing yards, 247.5.
Under.
Mm, love that. Way under, right?
I don't know about way under, but definitely under. The volume is not going to be there. His most pass attempts in a game this season is 33.
Yeah, that means he will have to be winging it all over the place to get that. Kyler Murray throws an interception. Yes, minus 192, or no, plus 150. I tell you, I think there's some value here.
On which one?
On no.
Oh, I mean, I feel like it's pretty likely. The Niners have picked off 10 passes in 7 games.
Kyler hadn't thrown a pick in 4 games.
I don't want to say he's due, but I don't think that he's going to, you know, have a whatever it is, like a 1-point-something interception, 1.4% interception rate for the rest of his career.
Probably fair. I think that the Cardinals only have, though, on the season. Confirm that this is correct. I'm pretty sure they just have four turnovers.
Yeah, yep.
Four turnovers on the season. That's crazy.
And those are Kyler's only four picks. So, yeah. And so if you look at the four game splits, his first four games, he threw four picks on 169 passes. That's like still a below average 2.4% interception rate. And then in the last four games, he's thrown no picks on 123 passes. So I don't want to, it's again, the word due like is not,
dude,
thing, but,
work, but regression, regression,
yeah, regression, I would say. I don't know that I would bet on minus 192, but I feel like probably slightly more likely than not that he throws a pick just because of how good the defense is and the fact that it's unlikely that you throw, or I guess it's probably not more likely than not, because if you only get picked on 2.6% of your passes, you're talking about not very big of a chance of one of your passes being picked.
Would you start Kenyon Drake in fantasy? I have no idea what his over under. I will try and find it. Even
I don't think so. I know he's going to be in there a bunch, but I don't know that they could find really that much success running, and I don't know that Kyler's going to really trust him in the passing game, considering he arrived a few days ago.
If David Johnson plays, would you start David Johnson?
I would be worried about what happened a couple weeks ago. And I think I remember seeing early this morning that that he probably was not going to be active.
I don't
Schefter. I don't remember who, but
this is the concern. Okay, so we'll get to the pick in a second. But George Kittle over under 69.5 passing yards.
I'll go over. I feel like all the passing is going to be to him. The Cardinals can't cover tight ends.
Okay. Finally, let's get your pick on this game. What do you think happens here?
I think it's going to be one of those like garbage time score type games. Like the Niners will be up 27-13 and Kyler gets a garbage time touchdown 27-20.
Wow. So you got the over there. Cause the over under is 43, I believe.
Check. What's the spread?
The spread is 40. Oh, you didn't know, right? Usually you know. 49ers minus 10 over under 43.5.
Okay, so I'm like 3 points away on both.
I think that's what it comes down to is like, do you think that Kyler Murray can throw a garbage time touchdown?
Right.
Or, you know, because the 49ers shorthanded. It does stink. Like, it stinks out loud that the Cardinals are like the 49ers are such an obvious bet. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little too obvious for me.
Yeah, especially with the Cardinals being, like, banged up a little bit. And then, I mean, the Niners are banged up at their best position group, too. Mm-hmm. Not that I wouldn't expect Tevin Coleman to have success if he has to just operate as the lead back. But they are banged up. I think that's notable a little bit.
Yeah.
And this game's in Arizona, right?
It's in Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, 10-point favorites on the road is pretty big, I think.
That's huge. I mean, it's like a 17-point home favorite. Yeah, I mean, I'm taking Arizona too. I think it's a hold your breath, cross your fingers, and pray for a Kyler Murray backdoor.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, dudes. Fun as always, buddy. We will talk on Monday. Have a great weekend.
You too, man.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.